Creation and fall. In the beginning, before the conception of time, God existed as the sole being from eternity. In a majestic act, he decided to create the heavens and the earth, bringing all existence into being. This magnificent work reflected his unmatched sovereignty and creativity. The pinnacle of his creation was the formation of man, shaped in his own image. This unique being received the breath of life directly from God, becoming a living, conscious entity endowed with free will. Harmony reigned in those early days, and man enjoyed divine closeness in Eden. However, even in this paradise, humanity faced its greatest trial. Adam and Eve, the first humans, succumbed to the subtle temptation of the serpent. The forbidden fruit, offered with deceptive promises, became the catalyst for the fall. Disobedience introduced sin into the world, irreversibly altering the relationship between God and his children. By eating the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve experienced the bitter reality of separation from God. Their actions resulted not only in their own spiritual downfall, but also in the inheritance of sin for all humanity. The initial purity was replaced by the knowledge of good and evil, and Eden was left behind, guarded by cherubim. This foundational episode, recorded in the pages of the Bible, illustrates human fragility. The event of creation and fall resonates throughout the scriptures, demonstrating the need for redemption and pointing to the promise of a savior who would restore the lost communion between God and humanity. Pre-flood. The trajectory of humanity after the fall of Adam and Eve reveals the complexity of human nature and God's relentless pursuit of restoration. The descendants of Adam began to multiply, and among his children, Cain and Abel, emerged a story marked by tragedy. Cain, driven by jealousy and envy, committed the terrible act of murdering his own brother, Abel. This act of violence marked a turning point in human history, showing how deeply sin could penetrate and erode the foundations of society. As the population grew, corruption spread across the earth, wickedness and injustice became widespread, and the divine creation was far from the intended harmony. In response to this moral decline, God decided to act in a way that would shake all of creation, the flood. Noah, a righteous and blameless man, found favor in the eyes of God. Instructed to build an ark, he was tasked with preserving life during the imminent cataclysm. Animals of every kind, along with Noah's family, boarded the ark that would become the refuge of survival. The waters of the flood covered the earth, eradicating all life that had become corrupted. The ark, guided by the divine hand, floated over the tumultuous waves, preserving the hope of a new era. After many days of flooding, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, and Noah and his family disembarked to witness God's promise never to destroy the earth in this way again. The pre-flood story, marked by sin, judgment, and the gracious preservation of a righteous remnant, serves as an eternal reminder of divine justice and mercy. It is a narrative that has shaped the course of biblical history, pointing to the ongoing need for redemption and the promise of a new creation. After the flood, humanity, represented by Noah's descendants, faced the challenge of repopulating the earth. Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, became the progenitors of nations that spread across the earth, contributing to the diversity of creation. Shem is often considered the ancestor of the Semitic peoples. His descendants include groups such as the Hebrews, Arameans, and Arabs. Notably, through Shem's lineage comes Abraham, who would become a central figure in biblical history as the father of nations and the patriarch of the Hebrews. Japheth is traditionally associated with Indo-European peoples. His descendants include groups such as the Greeks, Romans, Scythians, and others who spread across regions of Europe and Asia. Japheth's dispersion contributed to the ethnic and cultural diversity observed in ancient societies. On the other hand, Ham's descendants spread across various regions. Among them are the Canaanites, Egyptians, Philistines, and other groups. Notably, there is an episode of disobedience associated with Ham's lineage. One day, Noah planted a vineyard, and after drinking some wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. His youngest son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness and, instead of covering him or keeping it discreet, went to tell his older brothers, Shem and Japheth. Shem and Japheth, in contrast to Ham, showed respect for their father's nakedness. They entered the tent backward, carrying a cloak to cover Noah without looking at him. When Noah awoke and learned what had happened, he pronounced a curse on Ham's lineage while blessing the lineages of Shem and Japheth. This genealogy serves as a foundation for the subsequent narratives of the Bible, connecting the stories of the great patriarchs such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to post-flood humanity. It also contributes to understanding the different nations and cultures that emerged in antiquity, according to the biblical perspective. The Patriarchs. The saga of the Patriarchs, marked by complex family relationships and divinely orchestrated events, played a fundamental role in biblical history, shaping the trajectory of God's people. Abraham, initially called Abram, and his wife Sarah, received an extraordinary promise from God. They would become parents despite their advanced age. However, Sarah, due to her old age, was unable to conceive a child. Her impatience and disbelief led her to suggest that Abraham have a child with her servant Hagar. Hagar became pregnant, and Ishmael was born as a result of this union. The birth of Ishmael was significant, as he was Abraham's first son, although he was not the child of the divine promise made by God. Ishmael's importance in the biblical narrative extends beyond his personal story. He became the ancestor of a group of people known as the Ishmaelites, who primarily inhabited the desert region of the Arabian Peninsula. The Bible highlights that Ishmael was blessed by God and became a skilled archer. However, in time, Sarah finally became pregnant. The miraculous birth of Isaac, whose name means laughter, was the fulfillment of this divine promise. The joy of having a child brought not only a physical heir, but also signaled the continuation of the promise made to Abraham. Isaac, in turn, married Rebekah, and the couple faced unique challenges. Rebekah gave birth to twins, Esau and Jacob, who demonstrated marked differences from the womb. The blessing that originally belonged to the firstborn was transferred to Jacob through a clever plan, triggering a complex family dynamic. After receiving the blessing from his father Isaac by deceiving his brother Esau, Jacob fled to avoid Esau's wrath. Jacob, whose name means supplanter, had his own encounter with God and had his name changed to Israel, which means one who struggles with God. He fathered 12 sons who became the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. This notable progeny includes prominent figures like Joseph, whose story played a crucial role in the biblical narrative. Years later, there was a reconciliation between Jacob and Esau, who surprisingly made peace with each other. The move to Egypt marked a new chapter in the history of the patriarchs. Joseph, Jacob's son, who became a high-ranking official in Egypt, played a crucial role in this episode. Due to the famine in the land of Canaan, where Jacob's family was living, Joseph, now an important figure in the Egyptian government, invited his family to move to Egypt, where they would have access to food and sustenance. Jacob and his sons accepted the offer and settled in the region of Goshen, a fertile area of Egypt. By moving to Egypt, Jacob's family was able to survive the famine and preserve their lineage. This event was part of the fulfillment of the divine promise made to Abraham that his descendants would be numerous. The saga of the patriarchs highlights family relationships, human complexities, and divine faithfulness in fulfilling his promises through generations. Each step of this journey shaped the backdrop for future events, laying the groundwork for the continuous unfolding of God's plan in the history of his people. Exodus and wilderness. The epic narrative of the Exodus and the journey through the wilderness reveals not only the inspiring leadership of Moses, but also God's powerful intervention on behalf of his people, thus shaping the identity of the nation of Israel. Moses, a man chosen by God from birth, emerged as an unparalleled leader. Commissioned by God to lead the children of Israel to freedom, Moses confronted the powerful Pharaoh, demanding the release of the Hebrew people. The confrontation culminated in the miraculous event of the Exodus, when God, through Moses, guided his people out of Egypt. The narrative reaches its climax in the crossing of the Red Sea. With the waters miraculously parted, the Israelites walked on dry ground, while the waves formed a formidable wall on their left and right. This event not only symbolized liberation from slavery, but also established Moses' credibility as God's appointed leader. However, the journey of the Exodus did not end with the triumphant crossing. The pilgrimage in the wilderness became a period of testing, trials, and divine revelation. The Israelites, despite witnessing extraordinary miracles, faced challenges that tested their faith and trust in God. The wilderness journey was marked by the need for learning and purification. For 40 years, the people of Israel wandered, facing shortages of food and water, but also receiving divine guidance through Moses. This journey shaped the perseverance of the people and laid the foundation for forming a community committed to the divine covenant. Moses' leadership, anchored in God's guidance, led the Israelites through this challenging desert to the threshold of the Promised Land. Each step, despite the obstacles, was a crucial part of the complex tapestry of Israel's history, highlighting God's faithfulness and the importance of obedience. However, due to an act of disobedience recorded in Numbers chapter 20, Moses was barred from entering the land promised to Abraham's descendants. At the incident of Meribah, the Israelites were thirsty and asked Moses to provide water. God instructed Moses to speak to a rock so that it would yield water. Instead, Moses, frustrated with the people's complaints, struck the rock twice with his staff, disobeying God's instructions. Because of this disobedience, God announced to Moses that he would not enter the Promised Land. At the end of his journey, Moses ascended Mount Nebo, from where he viewed the Promised Land, but could not enter it. He died there at the age of 120, and he was buried by God in an unknown location. Although Moses did not physically enter the Promised Land, his role as a leader and lawgiver left a lasting legacy. His death marked the end of an era and the transition of leadership to Joshua, who would lead the Israelites in the conquest of the Promised Land. Conquest of the Promised Land. The conquest of the Promised Land, led by Joshua after Moses' death, is an exciting saga that highlights Joshua's courageous leadership and the challenges faced by the Israelites as they sought to establish themselves in the land promised by God. Joshua, a dedicated disciple of Moses, was chosen by God to lead the Israelites across the Jordan and spearhead the military campaign to take possession of the Promised Land. His commitment to God's will and his unwavering faith made him a central figure in this crucial chapter of Israelite history. However, before the actual entry into the land, a significant episode highlighted the tension between faith and unbelief. Joshua sent 12 spies to explore the land of Canaan. Although the land was abundant and fertile, most of the spies returned with a fearful report, emphasizing the challenges and seemingly insurmountable fortresses of the Canaanite cities. Only Joshua and Caleb maintained a confident perspective in God's ability to deliver the Promised Land. The unbelief of the people, influenced by the negative report of the majority of the spies, resulted in significant consequences. God, in his justice, decreed that that doubting generation would not enter the promised land. Thus, for 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the desert, learning lessons of trust and complete dependence on God. Finally, under Joshua's leadership, the conquest of the promised land began gradually and strategically. Cities like Jericho, known for its formidable walls, fell to divinely inspired plans. Each victory, despite the challenges, confirmed God's faithfulness to his promise and strengthened the people's confidence in Joshua as the appointed leader. The gradual conquest of the promised land not only symbolized the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also solidified Israel's position as a people chosen by God. This chapter of biblical history narrates epic events of battles and victories, highlighting the importance of faith, obedience, and unwavering trust in divine providence. The period of the judges. The period of the judges, a phase in Israel's history between the conquest of the promised land and the establishment of the monarchy, is marked by repetitive cycles revealing the spiritual instability of the people and their tendency to disobey God. During this time, the Israelites experienced a series of periods of apostasy, during which they strayed from exclusive worship of God, engaging in idolatrous practices and disobeying divine laws. This cycle of disobedience led to oppressions by neighboring nations, causing the Israelites to cry out for help. In his mercy, God raised up judges to deliver the people from oppression and guide them back to the path of obedience. These leaders, inspired by the Holy Spirit, played crucial roles during the turbulent times of the judges. Among them, Gideon stands out as a fearless leader who, despite his initial reluctance, led the Israelites to victory against the Midianites. In this battle, God instructed Gideon to significantly reduce his army to demonstrate that the victory would be God's work. With a small group of men, Gideon defeated the Midianites through an ingenious strategy involving torches and jars at night. The victory was achieved remarkably, and Gideon served as a judge of Israel for 40 years. Jephthah, another judge, faced personal challenges and led the Israelites against their enemies. Samson also served as a judge of Israel, and his story is extraordinary. Samson was miraculously born to Manoah's wife, who was barren. One day, an angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced Samson's birth, instructing that he be consecrated as a Nazirite from birth, abstaining from wine and avoiding impurity. Samson grew up, and with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, he demonstrated extraordinary physical strength. Despite his Nazirite vows, Samson became romantically involved with a Philistine woman named Delilah. The Philistine leaders persuaded Delilah to discover the source of Samson's strength. After several unsuccessful attempts, he finally revealed that his strength came from his Nazirite vow, specifically his uncut hair. While Samson slept, Delilah cut his hair, removing his source of strength. The Philistines captured, blinded, and imprisoned him. In an act of humiliation, Samson was forced to grind grain in prison. However, during a great Philistine event, Samson, now with his hair regrown, prayed to God for one last demonstration of strength. He brought down the pillars of the temple where he was held, killing himself and many Philistines present. Thus, Samson sacrificed his life to free Israel from Philistine oppression. In addition to these leaders, Samuel emerged as a prominent figure at the end of the period of the judges. His story also deserves attention. Elkanah was a man with two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Hannah, the barren wife, was deeply distressed by her inability to bear children, while Peninnah had children. Annually, the family went to the sanctuary at Shiloh to worship God. During one of these visits to Shiloh, Hannah was so anguished by her infertility that she prayed fervently to the Lord, promising to dedicate her child to God if he blessed her with a son. God heard Hannah's prayers, and she conceived a son. She named him Samuel, meaning asked of God. After weaning Samuel, Hannah fulfilled her promise and brought him to the sanctuary at Shiloh, dedicating him to serve the Lord under the care of the priest Eli. Samuel grew up in the sanctuary at Shiloh, learning to serve God under Eli's mentorship. God called Samuel to be a prophet from a young age, and he became one of Israel's most prominent leaders and judges. The period of the judges is characterized by the dynamic interaction between Israel's infidelity, divine discipline, and God's gracious provision through appointed leaders. This phase in Israel's history set the stage for the transition to the era of kings, a new chapter in the journey of God's people. The monarchy. The period of monarchy in Israel was marked by extremely significant events, starting with the people's request for a king, passing through the reigns of Saul, David, and Solomon, until the tragic division of the kingdom after Solomon's death. The people's desire for a king was motivated by observing other nations around them that had monarchs. Although this decision was accepted by God as a reflection of the people's will, it also showed a certain lack of trust in God as their supreme ruler. God, respecting the people's choice, granted them a king, and Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. Saul's reign was marked by notable successes, such as the victory over the Amalekites, but also by failures, including disobedience to divine instructions. Subsequently, David, a young shepherd anointed by Samuel, was chosen by God as king. David stood out as an exceptional leader, known for his military skills, musical talent, and above all, for being a man after God's own heart. Solomon, David's son, succeeded to the throne and led Israel in an era of prosperity and peace. His reign was marked by notable achievements, such as the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, but also by challenges, including the increasing tax burden and discontent among the people. After Solomon's death, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two parts, the kingdom of Israel to the north and the kingdom of Judah to the south. This happened due to dissatisfaction with Solomon's tax management and resulted in a division that eventually led to serious consequences for both nations. The northern kingdom of Israel experienced a series of rulers, many of whom followed paths far from obedience to God. Idolatry became prevalent, and leaders like Ahab and Jehoram led the people away from exclusive worship of the Lord. Prophets like Elijah and Elisha were sent by God to confront idolatry and call the people to repentance. Persistent disobedience led to divine punishment, culminating in the fall of the northern kingdom before the Assyrian invasion and the exile of the people of Israel. Meanwhile, in the southern kingdom of Judah, David's lineage continued to rule. There were periods of obedience and reform, notably during the reigns of kings like Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. However, Judah also faced serious spiritual challenges, with kings like Ahaz and Manasseh leading the people toward idolatry. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah were called to warn and call Judah to repentance. Even with these admonitions, persistent disobedience led to the Babylonian exile and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The history of both Israel and Judah is replete with episodes of idolatry, where the people turned to false gods, abandoning the Lord. In response, God sent a series of prophets to warn and call to account. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Amos highlighted the spiritual and temporal consequences of disobedience. Divine discipline manifested through events such as foreign invasions, exile, and the destruction of cities. The history of the northern and southern kingdoms would serve as a perpetual reminder of the importance of loyalty to God and the spiritual consequences associated with the choice of disobedience. The Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity represents one of the darkest periods in the history of Israel, marked by the fall of Jerusalem, the exile of the people to Babylon, and paradoxically, by the remarkable actions of prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The narrative of the Babylonian captivity begins with the invasion of King Nebuchadnezzar II and his Babylonian troops into Jerusalem. This event culminated in the destruction of the temple and the deportation of the Jewish population to Babylon, an exile that lasted for decades. The city that was once the symbol of divine presence was reduced to rubble, and God's chosen people were taken captive to a foreign land. Amidst this crisis, notable prophets emerged who played crucial roles in guiding and comforting the exiled people. Jeremiah, known as the Weeping Prophet, foresaw the imminent destruction of Jerusalem and exhorted the people to accept divine discipline. Daniel, a captive in the Babylonian court, stood out for his faithfulness to God amidst adversity and his interpretive ability of dreams and visions. And Ezekiel, who was among the exiles, conveyed visions and symbolic messages emphasizing the importance of repentance and hope in a restored future. Among Ezekiel's visions, it's worth mentioning the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, symbolizing the desolate and seemingly hopeless condition of Israel during its exile in Babylon. The dry bones represent the nation of Israel at that time, devoid of spiritual and national life. The act of prophesying over the bones and seeing them come back to life represents God's promise to restore Israel. This symbolizes the future spiritual restoration, the reunification of the nation, and the return from exile. The period of the Babylonian captivity was also marked by a process of spiritual purification. Far from their land and the temple, the people of Israel faced an opportunity for reflection and repentance. God, in His mercy, did not abandon His people, even during the exile. Through the prophets, He offered words of consolation, promises of restoration, and instructions to seek the peace of the city where they were exiled. The Babylonian exile became a season of spiritual revival. The people began to seek God more intensely, recognizing the need for repentance and the importance of the covenant with the Lord. This period of purification prepared the ground for the return to the Promised Land and the reconstruction of the temple after the decree of Cyrus, the Persian king. The Restoration. The period of restoration marks a chapter characterized by the return of the people to the Promised Land, the reconstruction of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem, the teaching of the law, and a notable spiritual awakening. After decades of Babylonian captivity, the Persian king Cyrus issued a decree allowing the Jews to return to their homeland. Led by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, the people began the journey back to the Promised Land. This return symbolized not only a physical movement, but also the beginning of a spiritual restoration. One of the first undertakings after the return of the people of Israel was the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Despite challenges and oppositions, the temple was rebuilt under the leadership of Zerubbabel, marking a spiritual revival and the re-establishment of religious practices. Furthermore, Ezra, a priest and scribe, played a key role in teaching and applying the law of Moses. He led a movement to restore the understanding and practice of the law among the people. Ezra promoted the public reading of the law, encouraging repentance and spiritual renewal. As the people heard the law, they experienced deep conviction of sin and sought God in repentance. This resulted in spiritual renewal, with the people committing to obey and honor God. Nehemiah, in turn, directed the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, offering protection and security to the city. Despite adversities, Nehemiah and the people persevered, completing the task in a remarkable example of cooperation and determination. The work of Ezra and Nehemiah, along with the active involvement of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, contributed to spiritual restoration and reform in the community. Renewed dedication to serving God and returning to the covenant were crucial for the re-establishment of the relationship between God and His people. The post-restoration prophets, the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, played crucial roles in the post-restoration period, confronting challenges and encouraging the faithfulness of the people of Israel to God as the nation sought to rebuild itself after the return from Babylon. The prophet Haggai directed his messages to the people involved in the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He challenged spiritual apathy, encouraging the people to prioritize the building of God's house. Haggai pointed to the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, promising divine blessings when the people put God first. Zechariah, a contemporary of Haggai, also stood out as a prophet during the post-exilic rebuilding. His visions and symbolic messages offered encouragement to the people, pointing to spiritual restoration and the future coming of the Messiah. Zechariah emphasized the importance of justice, compassion, and truth, calling the people to live in alignment with divine principles. Malachi, who lived in a later period, directed challenging messages to the people of Israel. He confronted spiritual complacency, negligence in offerings and worship, and marital infidelity. Malachi highlighted the need for a genuine relationship with God, urging the people to repent and return to the covenant. Despite the initial enthusiasm during the restoration, the people of Israel faced the constant challenge of maintaining their faithfulness to God. Spiritual complacency, negligence in religious practices, and lack of moral commitment threatened the relationship between God and His people. The prophets, by directing messages of rebuke and exhortation, sought to keep the spiritual flame alive and reinforce the importance of ongoing obedience. The post-restoration period highlights the ongoing difficult reality of the conflict between faithfulness and apostasy, the pursuit of God, and the temptation of complacency. Closure. The Old Testament concludes with the post-restoration prophets, including Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who, through their messages, sought to guide the people of Israel in their spiritual journey. However, with the closing of the Old Testament canon, the subsequent period is characterized by 400 years of apparent prophetic silence. During this interval, there is no record of new books being added to Scripture, and the voice of the prophets is not heard. Despite this, this period was marked by important historical events, cultural and political changes, including the rise and fall of empires such as the Persian, Greek, and Roman. During this time, some books were written, known as the Apocrypha. These are historical and religious books that were not included in the Jewish or Protestant canon, but were accepted by some Christian traditions. This period of silence does not signify divine inactivity, but represents a time when God was preparing the stage for the fulfillment of His messianic promises. The eager anticipation for a Messiah prophesied throughout the Old Testament created a growing expectation among the people of Israel. The arrival of the New Testament, inaugurated by the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, marks the end of this period of silence. Christ, the promised Messiah, will bring the fullness of divine promises, redemption, and salvation for humanity. His birth, ministry, death, and resurrection are witnessed in the Gospels of the New Testament, continuing the biblical narrative and fulfilling the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Thus, the Old Testament, with its stories, laws, prophecies, and poetry, prepared the ground for the advent of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would bring the long-awaited hope and salvation. The prophetic silence of the 400 years is broken by the cry of a baby in Bethlehem, announcing the beginning of a new era in the history of redemption. So buckle up, because the story from now on will take an exciting turn. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. and let's go to the video. Political and cultural context. The political and cultural context during the intertestamental period was marked by several changes in global geopolitics, including the fall of the Medo-Persian Empire and the rise of Alexander the Great, who left a lasting legacy through the spread of Hellenistic culture. In the 4th century BCE, Alexander the Great conquered the Medo-Persian Empire, ushering in a new era in history. His empire stretched from Egypt to India, promoting the fusion of diverse cultures under the banner of Hellenistic culture. This became known as Hellenism, and its influence shaped language, art, philosophy, and even religion in vast regions of the known world. After Alexander's death, his empire was divided among his generals. Control of Egypt remained in the hands of the Ptolemies, while Syria was ruled by the Seleucids. The region of Israel became a battleground between these two empires, bringing various challenges to the Jewish people. Under the Ptolemies, the Jewish people experienced a relatively peaceful period and some control over their religious practices. However, with the rise of the Seleucids, especially under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the situation changed drastically. Antiochus IV Epiphanes, in an effort to Hellenize the region, provoked the anger of the Jews by desecrating the temple in Jerusalem and prohibiting Jewish religious practices. His affront culminated in the Maccabean Revolt, led by the Maccabean family, notably Judas Maccabeus. The Maccabean War, or Maccabean Revolt, was a struggle for the religious and political freedom of the Jewish people against Seleucid rule. Judas Maccabeus and his brothers managed to regain control of the temple and restore Jewish worship. This period is commemorated in the festival of Hanukkah, which celebrates the rededication of the temple after its desecration by Antiochus. These political and cultural events during the intertestamental period were crucial for shaping the environment in which Jesus Christ would come into the world. The Hellenistic backdrop provided a linguistic and cultural context that facilitated the spread of Christianity in the Greco-Roman world in the following centuries. Herod the Great and the political situation. Amidst this backdrop of change, Herod the Great, renowned for his administrative and building skills, ruled Judea under Roman dominion. He undertook monumental projects in Jerusalem, including the expansion and renovation of the Herodian Temple, one of the largest and most grandiose religious complexes of antiquity. His architectural achievements also extended to other parts of the kingdom, including fortresses, palaces, and aqueducts. In addition to his feats in construction, Herod sought to ensure the political stability of the region. He developed skillful relations with the Roman Empire and implemented policies to strengthen the local economy. However, Herod's reign was also marked by negative aspects. His paranoia led to a series of violent acts, including the execution of members of his own family. Herod was known for his cruelty, swiftly acting against any perceived threat to his rule, real or imagined. The Massacre of the Innocents, described in the New Testament, is a notorious event attributed to Herod in his quest to eliminate any rival to the throne. It all begins after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. News of the birth of the King of the Jews reached Herod, the King of Judea at the time. Herod, fearing he might lose his throne, was disturbed by this news. He summoned the wise men from the east, the Magi, to find out exactly where the Messiah should be born. The Magi, following the star, found Jesus in Bethlehem and worshipped him. However, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod and fearing the emperor's wrath, they did not go back to report the details of the birth to Herod. Enraged by not obtaining accurate information from the Magi, Herod issued a cruel order. He commanded the massacre of all boys under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and its vicinity, hoping to eliminate the supposed threat to his authority. Before the order could be carried out, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, warning him of the imminent danger. Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus fled to Egypt, escaping the massacre. Thus, the reign of Herod the Great was a period of contrasts, marked by remarkable achievements in terms of construction and administration, but also by a shadow of tyranny, paranoia, and violence. This tense political context and the search for the Messiah provided the backdrop for the beginning of the New Testament era and the arrival of Jesus Christ. Jesus and cultural convergence. Jesus' birth occurred during a period of cultural convergence between Hellenistic, Roman, and Jewish cultures. Roman rule over the region brought influences from Roman culture and, by extension, Greek culture. This was reflected in everyday practices, language, and architecture. The city of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, experienced this cultural intersection, and this diverse context shaped Jesus's experience as a man. Growing up in Nazareth, a city often looked down upon by contemporaries, Jesus experienced ordinary life and faced the complexities of the culture of the time. His identification with sinners, his closeness to ordinary people, and his humble origins in Nazareth highlight Jesus's unique approach to humanity. The beginning of Jesus' ministry was marked by his baptism in the waters of the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Here's a pause to talk about this fantastic figure that is John the Baptist. An important figure in the New Testament of the Bible, John the Baptist played a crucial role in preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, an elderly couple who miraculously conceived after a divine promise. He spent part of his life in the desert, where he dedicated himself to prayer and devotion to God. John received a specific mission to prepare the way for the Messiah, announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God. He became known for his baptism of repentance in the Jordan River. People came to him to be baptized, confessing their sins. John preached about repentance, the arrival of the kingdom of God, and announced that someone more powerful than him was to come. When Jesus came to be baptized by John in the Jordan, John recognized Jesus' superiority and testified that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John emphasized the importance of Jesus, saying that he himself was not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. This symbolic event not only marked the public beginning of Jesus' mission, but also demonstrated his identification with humanity. By submitting to the baptism intended for repentance of sins. Shortly after his baptism, Jesus faced temptation in the desert, a period of 40 days of isolation during which he was tempted by Satan. This episode highlights Jesus' humanity, who, although fully God, experienced the same temptations as all human beings. However, Jesus resisted all of the devil's onslaughts, citing the scriptures and revealing his perfect obedience to God. Jesus' victory over temptations in the desert demonstrated his holiness and authority over the evil one. This experience prepared Jesus for his public ministry, marked by transformative teachings, miraculous healings, and the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry was marked by an extraordinary combination of miracles and teachings that transcended geographical and cultural boundaries. He healed the sick, restored sight to the blind, fed crowds, and even raised the dead. His teachings, often in the form of parables, addressed universal themes such as love, forgiveness, justice, and the kingdom of God. These actions and words attracted a wide audience, reflecting the relevance of Jesus' message in different contexts. Jesus chose 12 men to be his apostles, playing a special role in his ministry. These apostles witnessed the teachings, miracles, and played a crucial role in spreading the gospel and establishing the early church. It's worth mentioning the episode of the Transfiguration. One day, Jesus went up a mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. At the top of the mountain, something extraordinary happened. Jesus' appearance was transfigured, His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Additionally, Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus. Jesus' transfiguration revealed his divine glory to the disciples. His radiant appearance indicated his divine nature, and the presence of Moses and Elijah symbolized the connection between the Old Testament, represented by Moses and the prophets, and the New Testament, represented by Jesus. The voice from heaven proclaiming Jesus as the beloved Son of God confirmed his messianic identity. This occurred before Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, where he would face his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. The transfiguration served as preparation for the disciples to face the subsequent events, especially the Passion of Christ. Witnessing Jesus' glory strengthened the disciples' faith and helped them understand that death and resurrection were according to God's plan. Jesus' ministry began to generate growing discomfort among the religious and political authorities of the time. His popularity and claims of divinity made him a controversial figure. The religious authorities, especially the Pharisees and scribes, felt threatened by Jesus' radical teaching, which often challenged their traditions and emphasized justice, mercy, and love instead of a legalistic imposition of the law. Additionally, religious leaders perceived Jesus' growing influence over the people as a threat to the established order. The critical moment approached when Jesus cleansed the temple in Jerusalem, driving out the money changers and denouncing the corruption that had infiltrated the house of prayer. This action, along with his divine claims and growing popularity, raised alarm among the authorities. The conspiracy to capture Jesus began to unfold. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, agreed to betray Jesus to the religious authorities in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. During the Last Supper, Jesus predicted his betrayal and imminent capture, but he continued to prepare his disciples for the unfolding events. Jesus' capture took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas identified Jesus to the Roman soldiers and temple guards with a kiss. This symbolic gesture led to Jesus' arrest. The high priest Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, conducted an irregular nighttime trial. The charges were varied, including blasphemy and allegations of threatening public order. The religious trial condemned Jesus, but due to jurisdictional issues, he was taken before Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate begins the interrogation by asking if Jesus is the King of the Jews. Jesus responds by stating that his kingdom is not of this world and that he came into the world to bear witness to the truth. Throughout the interrogation, Pilate realizes that the charges against Jesus are mainly of a religious nature and that there is no legal basis to condemn him. Pilate, seeking to avoid conflicts and lacking a clear understanding of the spiritual significance of the case, offers an opportunity to release Jesus. During the Passover feast, it was customary for the Roman governor to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd as a gesture of goodwill. Pilate sees this as an opportunity to release Jesus without facing a revolt from the crowd. So, Pilate presents the option to the crowd gathered in the Praetorium Square, to release Jesus, known for his miraculous works and teachings, or Barabbas, a rebel prisoner and murderer. The influence of the religious leaders is evident when they incite the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas. They manipulate the emotions of the population, suggesting that Barabbas is a patriot fighting against Roman occupation, while Jesus is portrayed as a threat to the established order. The crowd, influenced and instigated by the religious leaders, shouts for Barabbas. Pilate, sensing the growing agitation of the crowd, symbolically washes his hands, declaring himself innocent of Jesus' blood. He yields to the pressure of the crowd and the threat of riot, condemning Jesus to crucifixion. Thus, Jesus was taken to Calvary, where he was crucified between two criminals. His death on the cross was a cruel execution, but it also fulfilled a greater purpose, the redemption of humanity through the sacrifice of the Son of God. After Jesus' death on the cross, a series of extraordinary events occurred. marking the climax and conclusion of the Passion narrative. Resurrection. Jesus' body was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin who secretly followed Jesus. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in a new tomb. Pilate, responding to the request of the Jewish leaders, authorized the placement of a Roman guard to prevent any attempt to steal the body. The tomb was sealed to ensure it remained untouched. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to Jesus' tomb, carrying spices to anoint his body. Upon arrival, they noticed that the stone sealing the tomb entrance had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Upon entering the tomb, the women saw a young man dressed in white, identified as an angel. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." The angel instructed the women to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus had risen and that they would see him in Galilee. As the women hurried to deliver the news, Jesus himself appeared to Mary Magdalene near the tomb, revealing himself to her. In addition to Mary Magdalene, Jesus appeared to various individuals and groups in the following days. This included the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the gathered disciples in a locked room, and Peter individually. Each of these appearances served to confirm the reality of the resurrection. Some disciples initially doubted the news of the resurrection. Thomas, in particular, expressed skepticism until Jesus appeared to him, allowing him to touch his wounds. These encounters served to dispel doubts and strengthen the faith of the disciples. In a specific appearance by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus commissioned Peter, asking him three times if he loved him, and instructed the disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything he had commanded. Ascension. After appearing to the disciples for 40 days, Jesus led them to the Mount of Olives near Bethany. This location had already witnessed important events during his ministry. At the top of the mount, Jesus gave final instructions to the disciples, renewing their commission to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. He also instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the Father's promise, the Holy Spirit, who would empower and guide them in their mission. As he blessed the disciples, Jesus began to ascend to heaven before their eyes. This event was witnessed by the apostles, who saw Jesus gradually rise until a cloud enveloped him, hiding him from their sight. While the disciples were still looking up to heaven, two men dressed in white, angels, appeared and asked them why they were looking up to heaven. It was then that they announced that Jesus would return in the same way the disciples had seen him leave. The ascension left the disciples amazed, but also filled them with confidence and hope. They understood that Jesus had returned to heavenly glory and that the promise of the Holy Spirit would soon be fulfilled. After the ascension, the disciples returned to Jerusalem, as Jesus had instructed. There they gathered in prayer and fellowship, awaiting the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' ascension has profound theological significance. It confirms Christ's exaltation at the right hand of God the Father, indicating his sovereignty and authority. It also inaugurates the phase of redemption history in which the disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit, would carry forward the message of the gospel to the world. Jesus' ascension is not a farewell, but a preparation for the sending of the Holy Spirit and an anticipation of his return. Spread of the gospel. The apostles played a crucial role in spreading Jesus' message, taking the gospel to various parts of the known world. The book of Acts recounts their missionary journeys, starting in Jerusalem and extending to places like Antioch, Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome. However, the growth of the church was not without challenges. Persecutions arose, especially in Jerusalem, leading to the dispersion of believers and the spread of the Christian message. Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, played a prominent role in these persecutions before his conversion. The persecutions, though intended to suppress the Christian movement, ironically contributed to the expansion of the church. The believers, scattered across different regions, carried with them the message of Jesus. Paul, after his conversion, became one of the most fervent propagators of the gospel, traveling extensively and establishing Christian communities. His missionary journeys, recorded mainly in the Book of Acts, were tireless endeavors to proclaim the gospel in various regions of the known world. In Philippi, his preaching led to the conversion of Lydia and a jailer, resulting in the foundation of the church in that city. In Thessalonica, his message reached both Jews and Gentiles, leading to the formation of a significant Christian community. In Corinth, Paul stayed for a considerable time, establishing a church that would become central to his letters. In addition to his missionary activities, Paul left a lasting legacy through the epistles he wrote to the churches he founded or to collaborators. His letters, now part of the New Testament, offer theological, ethical, and practical instructions for Christians. Epistles like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Philippians are examples of Paul's rich teaching. Despite his significant impact, Paul faced numerous challenges. He was imprisoned on several occasions due to his preaching and teaching. His missionary journeys often put him in dangerous situations, subject to hostility from both Roman authorities and Jews who resisted the Christian message. Paul also faced persecutions from within the Christian communities themselves, sometimes due to theological disagreements or differences in pastoral approach. However, he persevered in the face of these adversities, maintaining a firm commitment to the spread of the gospel and the strengthening of the churches he had founded. In the year 64 after Christ, a great fire devastated Rome. Emperor Nero, seeking to deflect suspicion from himself, blamed the Christians for the tragedy. This marked the beginning of an intense persecution of Christ's followers. The Christians were unfairly accused, enduring imprisonment, torture, and executions. This period of persecution, led by Nero, is historically significant and is mentioned in the works of historians like Tacitus. During this persecution, the Apostle Paul was imprisoned again in Rome. Unlike his first imprisonment, which allowed some freedom, this second imprisonment was more severe. Paul wrote his final letters, including the second book of Timothy, while in custody. Paul was martyred during Nero's reign, probably by beheading. His epistles, written in prison, continue to be fundamental sources of Christian teaching. His example of courage in the face of adversity and his unwavering dedication to preaching the gospel inspire generations of Christians. This historical context of persecutions in Rome is relevant to understanding the Book of Revelation. Written during the reign of Domitian, Nero's successor, Revelation reflects the tensions and persecutions that Christians faced under imperial rule. The author, the Apostle John, wrote during a period of intense pressure on the Christian community. Revelation uses apocalyptic symbolism to convey a message of hope and final victory for Christ's followers, even in the face of persecution and tribulation. The visions and images presented in the book are interpreted in light of the historical and theological context of the first century, providing encouragement to Christians facing difficulties. The book describes a series of visions revealing the celestial glory, the Lamb of God. Other visions present seven trumpets and seven bowls, each unleashing divine judgments upon humanity. These judgments symbolize God's response to rebellion and sin. In this scenario, the figure of the beast arises, symbolizing earthly powers hostile to God. And finally, the book describes the final battle between good and evil, culminating in Christ's victory. The New Jerusalem, symbol of redemption and the presence of God, is revealed as the consummation of human history. The book concludes with warnings and invitations to those who read to remain faithful to God. Jesus promises to return and bring rewards to the faithful, while rebels will face divine justice. I hope you enjoyed the video. Don't forget to leave your like and a comment telling us where you're watching from. Hugs and stay with God.